for you and I living this long, after the celebration of the Passover, after the disciples and the ministry of Jesus, this long after all the things that have happened in history and how we have lived outside the Holy Lands, it's hard for us to catch all the nuance in their sentence. Not during the feast. And there's some irony here in these words and in who said them. One, these are people who are supposed to serve the Lord God, right? And believe that God would send a Savior, a Messiah. And the irony is they're talking about killing him. These are the people that are the chosen nation. And the irony, they're plotting to kill the chosen one. The irony is that the motives that the text tells us in this gospel reading as we take a look at it is that their concerns were not during the feast, they were afraid of a riot. You know how during the Passover, I don't know if you knew this, but the population in Jerusalem would just overflow. People were to come to Jerusalem, and there the lambs would be slaughtered. And they would have set this lamb aside way before the Passover. And there were Bible verses about how long that had to be and how that lamb had to be unblemished. And if you didn't have a lamb, you came into the city, and unfortunately, the temple learned how to make a buck or two. You could buy a Jerusalem lamb for $19.99, you know, when a lamb's only worth $6, you know. There were ways that the crowd just kind of swelled with its own momentum. And we've all seen in our own generation what happens when a crowd gets stirred up. We saw it in Missouri, you know, with the people just trashing stores and everything else and hurting one another because they had an opportunity to vent. Now, their fear was that Jesus was becoming popular. And if they killed him while the crowd would be in the city, they would have no way to control him. As a consequence of that, they had another fear, that if the crowd got out of control, the Jewish leaders would lose their position of influence. The Romans would replace them. It's sort of like in a classroom, if the teacher can't keep control of her students, you know, so to speak, we'll get another teacher in here who can. And the idea is that, you know, leadership makes a difference. And the Romans would have said, you can't take care of these people, we'll put somebody in charge who can. And said they were afraid of riot. They were afraid of their popularity going downhill as Jesus became more popular. And they were afraid that the Romans, if there was a riot, would replace them. And so their plan was to try, in a sense our word would be stealth. The sinful word is sneaky. Okay? They would try to bring about the death of Jesus. And in a sense, they put a contract out on him. They wanted him dead. But they didn't want a public ruckus. They didn't want public attention. And they didn't want Jesus becoming even more popular by being martyred. And so that's what their idea was. Now think about what Jesus' idea was and about the Father's plan. You see, the Passover started a long time ago in the days of Moses. And they took a lamb and they were told, this is about your survival. If you do this, the firstborn will not die. If you do this, in a sense, generation will be protected and be able to bring about another generation. And the future of the nation would be secure. And so the Israelites took lambs. And if you didn't have enough people in the household to consume the lamb because it had to be eaten, then you got the extra family members over to your house and you did it together. That's how important it was. And they took the blood and they put it what we would call the doorpost, you know, and around the area. And then the angel of death came. And wherever the blood of the lamb was seen, the angel of death passed over. But wherever there was no blood, the firstborn of every living thing, of cattle, pets, the dogs, the cats, the children, the family would die. And if you remember, what stirred Pharaoh so hard was his firstborn died. And so it's interesting that Caiaphas and the temple leaders and everybody is thinking, not during the feast of the Passover, and yet God is about to show them the Lamb. As John the Baptist said, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. It had to be the Passover. It was God's plan of salvation, and these men should have known it. But isn't that the irony? The men's plan wasn't done in agreement with God's plan, but the men's plan fulfilled God's plan. Jesus died, but not the way they wanted. Jesus died on a cross. For this crucifixion, there had to be a trial. There had to be a Roman trial. Because the Jews did not have the authority to put people to death. And think about popularity. Jesus was paraded through the street. You know how they call it? The Via Dolorosa, you know? They paraded through the street carrying his cross, and he falls down. You remember Simon of Cyrene? He ends up carrying the cross, and people gathered around. And yeah, they were in the courtyard outside Pilate's place, and they had said, "Crucify him, we choose Barabbas," you know. And here they gathered on Calvary's mountaintop outside the city wall, and there they watched the one who did the miracles, the one who walked on water, the one who taught. They watched him die. The plan of the temple leaders was to have it quietly done, sneakily done, right? Out of the way, and no big deal. And God's plan was to do it publicly at the height of the population in Jerusalem, when the most people that would ever gather in the city would hear the fulfillment of the promise. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. For us in our journey of Lent, it is to see not only the irony and the lies of the temple leaders, but the irony in our own life. How at times, you know, we pray God's will would be done, and then we do it our way. You know, we pray that God would be glorified, but we're more worried about our own pride. We pray for faithfulness, that we would be faithful to God, and then we always start to measure our response by, how faithful is God to me? You know, the idea of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours, you know? We want God to do something before we do something. March Madness will bring out a lot of this. There'll be people folding their hands, right? God, if you help him make that foul shot, I'll be in church for all month. You know, I'll never leave. And it gets ridiculous, I know. But see, the idea is we're always wanting God to keep his word, but we're not willing to keep ours. And in that Holy Week, God kept his when the temple leaders were breaking theirs. They promised to serve, and they wouldn't. They wanted to be served. They promised to listen to God, and they didn't. They wanted to do all the talking. And they promised to bow down to the Lord God, and they didn't. They want Jesus fallen down, humbled before them, so that they could keep their power and their influence. And by Christ going the way of the cross, just as he said, as Moses once lifted up the serpent, and the people that viewed that and believed were saved, to those who were betraying him, to those who were willing to kill him, to those who renounced him, here Christ is willing to be lifted up, stretch out his arms, be nailed, and die. And in a sense, from the cross on Calvary, Jesus says, not only during the feast, but he does one better. I am the feast. I am the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am the way. In spite of humanity and its sinful nature having its way and thinking they won for a little while, God had his way and Christ won. The irony of the Lent is kind of interesting, isn't it? For God, even when man thinks he's sneaky, God's plan still happened. And God's plan works. Their plan failed. Amen.